Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 412, 412. And we're going to continue with verse 13. Last time we read this law where God basically tells people that, you know, if you lend something to someone, a pledge, and he's a very poor person, obviously we're talking about old societies. Well, until recently, even today, you know, there are a lot of people around the world that are just as poor as they were in the old days. And the only pledge they can give you is this, you know, a garment or a blanket or whatever it may be. You know, the pots and pans or things, you know, that they're cooking with. And God mentions that too later on. And so God says, well, if this is what he needs, you can take it during the day, but at night you give it back to him. And then God will consider that as righteousness, and the person will bless you for it, and God is going to be pleased with it. You see? So, he wants his people to be conducting their lives and their interrelationship with their neighbors, you know, their friends, their relatives, whatever it may be, with human beings, made in the image and likeness of God, in the manner of the law. And that's what love, and that's what Paul was saying. What is love? Love works no ill to his neighbor, as you read in Romans 13. Therefore, he says, love is the fulfilling of the law. And this is love when you take a pledge from someone, and when you need it, you go and wait outside, and you show him dignity and respect and honor. You don't just barge into his home and grab it, you see. And in doing so, you are humiliating him, you know, in his own home. You see, in his own palace, before his own wife and children. That's not love, but love is just respectfully wait outside. You know, if he owes it to you, he should give it to you, fine, but that does not mean that you now suddenly become the bully, you know, the owner, and you can grab whatever you want, because that's not love. That's working ill in so many ways. And then the same thing, you know, when he gives you a pledge, a blanket, you should give it back to him, because at night, you know, he needs it to cover himself with or to sleep on. You know, maybe you've taken his mattress or whatever it may be. Love is to give it back to him. And that's why love is the fulfilling of the law. And when people say the law is done away with, obviously they're blind and ignorant, they're miserable, they're poor, they're wretched, they're naked of righteousness. They don't understand what they're talking about. They don't understand, you know, the idiocy in this kind of a statement, you see. So they're saying, oh, the law is nailed to the cross. What does that mean? You know, that's lunacy for people to say that, and yet they build a whole foundation of a whole church on this foundational deception and lie. When God says, no, the law is not done away with. You got to fulfill the royal law. If you want to enter into life, you got to keep the commandments. This law is not done away with. The law of Moses is not done away with. Christ made it very plain in many statements. He told Israel, same person, it's not another God. And unless you return to this law, this is the law of love. You see, you're all dead. And so it shows you how far we have departed from God and how deceived we are, how the leaders are deceived. Because why? When people do not have the love of the truth, when God sends delusions, that means demons. He allows demons to deceive people, to become a spirit of lie in their mouth and to deceive people, you see, and to confuse them. That's where people do not love the truth. But the people who love the truth, they are going to open the Bible and they are going to read it in the spirit of humility, you see, and they are going to see what God has to say about it and forget about men, forget about organizations, forget about this and that. No, no matter what title they have. They're all meaningless to God. We're all put together, the whole world, less than a drop, you know, in a bucket to God. So people should never adore, worship, glorify, honor men. You see, in the wrong way. We should seek the voice of God. We should live by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And yet there are all those liars over there that are going to tell you and have been doing it for 2,000 years, that we have an authority that supersedes the Bible. That's what they're telling you. We're above God. Therefore, you listen to us. And when you follow for that, you are an idol worshiper. And your fate is going to be that of an idol worshiper. That's as simple as that. And so God says, this is the law of love. You better come back to it. since you stray away from it, or else. As the reality is, the majority are not going to come back to it, and therefore the or else is going to happen to them. That's the reason for the coming tribulation, the trouble that has never happened and never will happen again, that is coming upon the whole earth, and then the fury of the devil that God is going to allow to be unleashed upon humanity, and then his own fury, the fury, you know, the wrath of the Lamb, as we read about in Revelation, the day of the Lord, you see. Why? Because people despise the law of Moses. That's as simple as that. The law of love. The royal law. You see? And they're going to have to pay the penalty for it. And unfortunately, by the time it's all over, about 90% of humanity will be underground. And God is going to be working with the rest 10%. And they're going, you know, I'm not going to be playing games with him anymore. And so we continue here with verse 14. You shall not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, when he be of your brethren or of your strangers that are in the land, that is in your land within your gates. So anybody, your brother or stranger, you know, we call them today illegal aliens, outsiders. See, whatever it means, you know, it doesn't make any difference to God. He said, don't oppress them. Don't ever oppress a needy person. Don't ever, you know, withhold their wages. Don't take advantage of them. Don't abuse them. And yet this land is full of it. Not only that, especially in the United States, because of corporate America, they've got businesses all over the world. And so they go to many other countries and they oppress those people over there, you know, by giving them pennies for the product that they produce. And they make a lot of money on that. You see, they don't give them the decent wages. They don't give them dignity and respect and honor. They even use children, many of those places. Just recently, they started, you know, squawking about it. And so some big companies, you know, are a little bit afraid of that, of publicity. And so they are trying to avoid that. But they're all breaking the law of God, the royal law. And there is a grievous punishment coming upon every single one of them. God knows who they are, what they are doing. God is not mocked. Even though most of them don't even believe in God, couldn't care less about Him. But God says, don't ever do that. And so if we are here in this land and we're in a position, as if to employ someone, are we abusing them? Are we misusing them? Are they withholding their hire? Are we rejecting the law that God gave us, that the laborer is worthy of his hire? Are we doing any of those things? You see? If we are, we're on a collision course with the God of heaven and earth. And God is a consuming fire. And He knows everything that we've ever done. Nobody's going to get away with it. So when you see an awful lot of calamities in the land and sickness and disease in the family and afflictions and all that, an awful lot of things that we do we are not even mindful of, and the results are coming to haunt us, and we sometimes don't even know where they came from. And we think that, well, we haven't done anything wrong, you know, why all those things are happening to us? The land is full of iniquity. The land departed from the law of Moses, and we are part of it, and oftentimes we are part of the system, even though personally we may not do it, but being a part of the system, we become guilty with it. You see, and the punishment is coming on all of us. God says very plainly here, do not oppress. And in the office is an awful lot of abuse, you know, be it sexual abuse or verbal abuse or, you know, putting down or whatever it may be. God says, don't ever be that kind of a person. That's not love, that's hatred. You see, and God has a reward for those who hate, just like He has a reward for those who love. Only one is good and one is bad. He says, don't do it. You hire a person, somebody to work for you, take care of him. Treat him with dignity and respect and honor. And look what happened here, you know, over 100 years ago with slavery. Now that everybody, every master, you know, that had slaves and was evil, a lot of them were very nice people and treated, you know, their slaves with a measure of affection and respect and, you know, and took care of them. But a lot of them were evil and vicious and wicked and abominable and filthy in the sight of God and oppressors, you see. You know, when the Civil War occurred and a lot of suffering came on both sides, that was one form of punishment on the part of God that He brought against His people, you know, His children on the face of the earth. And so He does it everywhere. And we still have to all stand before the judgment seat of God, you know, whether we are dead or alive, it's neither here nor there. And so let's remember that if we're in this position. And we have here, you know, this law, and it's very plain. That's a law of love. So in verse 15, again, in the same day you shall give him his hire, God says, you know, he works for you, pay him. In the same day, don't tell him come back tomorrow. Neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor, and he set his heart upon it, lest he cry against you unto the Lord, and it be seen in you. You see? And then when you get to that point, God in essence is saying, I'm coming after you. You see? If you see an awful lot of commotion in the economy, you know, going up and down, and people going out of business, and companies, you know, are hiring and firing and all kind of things like that, and it's because there is an awful lot of iniquity in the business community, in industry. It's in the global economy. A lot of evil that is being committed there in so many ways. And so you've got strikes, and you've got all kind of fighting back and forth between employer and employee and things like that. All that because people are not obedient to the law of Moses. Instead of respecting and honoring one another, everybody's working hard, they're all productive, and everybody's doing well, and you never have to worry about all these things. Because of iniquity, it produces a lot of friction, a lot of misery. You see? God says you do that, it's going to be seen in you. Verse 16, then we're talking about another law now. The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin, just like God says later on through Ezekiel. The soul that sins, it shall die. You don't go after the family, you see. So, God makes it very important. If somebody's guilty, he's the only one who's going to have to pay the penalty for it, and he has no business going after everybody else or his family. Because when people are very angry, and especially feuding families, they go after each other, then they forget that only one person had done it, and they just go after everybody else. Everybody else becomes an enemy from that family, you know, just like the Hatfields and the McCoys. That's against the law of God. Verse 17, you shall not pervert the justice due to the stranger or to the fatherless. Period. Just don't do it. Justice is justice. And doesn't make any difference if the person is a stranger or an alien or whatever it may be. You have to maintain it. Never pervert it. That's contrary to the law of love. This is the law of love, the law of Moses. A lot of people don't think that way. You know, they speak in a derogatory manner about the law. They talk about the God of law. Speaking about the old harsh monster, the God of the Old Testament, which they think is the Father. You see? 2,000 years. A religion of the devil that masquerades as a religion of Christ, a religion of God, has been teaching this evil and poisoning the minds and the hearts of many against the very law of God, the very law of love. And because we transgress this law, Christ had to come and die for us. And then people say, well, you know, Christ died for me. What do you mean he died for you? You despise his law and commandments. He didn't die for you. He died only for those who repent. For those who do not, he didn't die for them. His sacrifice is not cheap. You see? I think that God, you know, is so stupid, you know, so senile, doesn't know what he's doing. I can, you know, do all kind of evil things and get away with it and despise his law, and he's going to send his son to die for me. You see? That's a height of idiocy, and people are afflicted with it. That's a disease of the mind. A lot of people are diseased. That's why, you know, Jeremiah says the heart is desperately... deceitful above all things and desperately sick. It's a sick mind that teaches this concept that the law is done away with. It was nailed to the cross. That we just live by faith and grace. You see, the law is not for us. There's a lot of people in their deception because they want to do evil. You know, they're bought into it. And to this very day. A lot of people, supposedly people of God, good people, nice people, go to church every Sunday, things like that. You tell them about the law of God, and there are other people who go, you know, when they're supposed to on the Sabbath. You see, they too. A lot of them have the attitude of contempt toward the law of God. You begin to talk about the law of God, they don't want to hear you. I just talk about nice, smooth things about, you know, the Lord Jesus and His, you know, His love for me, you know, and grace and faith and things like that. And all that is absolutely meaningless if you are disobedient to the law of God, the very nature of God, His mind, His character. You see? That's the royal law. That's what God says. Unless you come back to it, I'm going to destroy all of you. You see? He that has an ear, let him hear it. As Christ said many times, don't play games with His law. Without it, you've got nothing. Verse 18, he says, verse 17 again, let's read it. You shall not pervert the justice due to the stranger or to the fatherless, nor take the widow's raiment to pledge. In other words, you know, there are the weak people in the society. Don't take advantage of them. And the economy is geared to do that. You know, salesperson, you know, they take advantage of the people who are helpless. You know, they don't understand much. And they have no conscience to take, you know, advantage of senior citizens or women, you know, or children, widows, things like that. And then they do it, you know, either when they call you on the phone, you know, telemarketing and try to sell you all kind of things, or knock on your door, try to sell you all kind of things that you have no business having. You cannot afford it. You don't need it. It may not be even good to begin with. They do it to you in the garage, body shop, you know, everywhere. Wickedness is everywhere. God says, don't pervert justice, either in the courts of the land or anywhere else. Do everything that is right. And verse 18, but you shall remember, he said, that you was a bondman in Egypt. Just remember how it feels to be in a disadvantaged state. You were in that condition, and you were crying to God for deliverance, and now you turn around and do the same to others. And God is going to make, you know, in other words, He's going to make you a target to His fury much more than He did Egypt. Because you who should know better, and you turn around and do it, and God gave us an example like that in one of the parables that Christ gave about the two servants that He had, and they owed Him a lot of money. And one person that owed Him so much, he came and pleaded with God because he was going, that is, pleaded with his master because he was going to put him in jail. Well, basically, Christ was depicting Himself there, or the Father, in this position of the master who forgives. You see, that was the point of the parable. And when he forgave him so much that he owed so much, and he escaped prison and sentence and things like that, then what does he do? Does he go around and dispenses grace to others and shows kindness? No, he turns around and he grabs somebody by the throat who owes him very little in comparison, and he says, unless you pay me, I'm going to put you in jail. Well, you know the end of the story. Of course, it was a parable, never happened. But basically, God talks about human behavior. And so He's warning all of us not to be in that condition. Because then the end of that person that behaved in that manner was much worse than before. You see? And so that's what He's telling His own people, Israel. You better remember the way it used to be, and don't turn around and do the same thing to others that was done to you. And so He said, you remember that you used to be a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you thence, from there, that is. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. It's not a suggestion. It's not if you feel like it. It's not what you can get away with. I command you. You want to enter into life? Keep the commandments. You see? Don't say it's nailed to the cross. Don't say it's done away with. Otherwise, you're going to end up in a worse condition, you know, than you were. And God is not playing games with anybody. And yet, you know, that's what people do. The law is not good for us. It's harsh. It's evil. You know, it's the burden. Done away with. We just live by grace. No works. Nothing. Well, people want to be insane. They can remain insane. And then, you know, the price of pain and penalty of insanity is going to be heaped upon them anyway. Verse 19, now he's talking about another law. And again, this law has to do with the poor. In other words, in this several laws that we are reading here, it's basically talking about the disadvantage in the society, the people that need care and help, and they are there for whatever reason. And so here's another law for them. When you reap your harvest in your field, and you have forgotten a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Why? That the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. So, you know, you piled up everything after harvesting, and you took it all to the barn. Then you remember, you know, there was a little portion of it that you forgot behind. God says, forget it. Don't even go back. You see? Because the poor and the widows and the strangers and aliens and all that, that's the way they make their living, you see, when they've got nothing else. And after all, everything belongs to God. So God says, you know, let him have it. Let them have it. Don't go back for it. And if you have that kind of an attitude, and it says, oh, well, I have an opportunity here to do some good, you know, it's okay, let them have it. You're not going to go back for it. God sees this attitude, blesses you abundantly. Now, is it smart to go back and get it, and then God doesn't bless you for it? Or is it smart to just leave it behind and be generous and kind to others? You see, that's the law of love. God was trying to teach his people to be holy as he is holy, to be righteous as he is righteous, to be loving and kind and merciful and generous and affectionate and caring and sensitive, you see, as he is, for everyone. In doing so, we put on the mind of Christ. And when Paul was making that statement, he's making it as, you know, that statement with a man, you know, as a man who has his background in the law of Moses. And one that did away with it. You see? And unless you understand the mind and the background of the writer, you don't understand what he's talking about when he says whatever he says. You know, you may get a little bit of it. But you cannot go profoundly into the depths of what he's talking about. This is what he's saying here. Let this man which was in Christ be also in you. And when he studied the entirety of his law, the words that proceeded out of his mouth, and his epitome of it, from the beginning until the end, and much of what he had to say, he gave to Moses. It was not about when he came back to repeat everything all over again. He amplified many things. He said several things. But all the rest is in the law. And that's why he told them. I did not come to do away with the law. You see, I came to fulfill it, to magnify it, to amplify it, to make it even more binding and understandable to you, to explain to you the spirit of the law, go beyond it. And yet people say, oh no, he came to do away with that. You see, those are not honest people. Those are deceitful people, willfully deceitful people, that tell you this kind of things when they know good and well what Christ said. And the reason why they are that way, and they deceive others, because they have spirit of demons in them. And of course, you know, you look at a person like that, you may not see it. As Paul said, well, you know, even Satan the devil, he appears as an angel of light. So, you know, he deceives people to think, well, I'm a good guy, I'm a nice person. And so it's no marvel that his ministers, that means he's got ministers, you know, they appear as ministers of righteousness. And people look at them and they don't know the difference. Why? Because they don't know the law of Moses. Had they known the law of Moses, they would have found out what's really in their heart. And when they make this kind of statements about the law is done away with, they'll tell them, hey, you're a false prophet. You're a liar. You see? You speak evil of Jesus Christ. You despise his law and his words. And you are lying to us when he told us very plainly, don't think that I came to do away with the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to do away. He commanded us to obey his commandments. He says, if you enter into life, keep the commandments. All the apostles said exactly the same. Apostle Paul said, the law is holy, the Torah is holy and righteous and good. Why are you lying to us? You see? Well, because people do not study the law of God, they fall for it. That's a problem. So God holds, in essence, everybody responsible. You know, there was a time when you didn't have a Bible. It was not available. Only very few had it, and basically it was in the synagogue. You see, once the so-called, you know, Christians were no longer fellowshipping with the Jews, well, they couldn't go to the synagogue, so they didn't know what it says in the law of God. So it was easy for the false prophets to come and deceive them. Whatever they told them, you know, what else do they have to go by? They didn't know any better. And so they could deceive them and pull the wool over their head and tell them all the lies, and then after a while, you know, it becomes a part of the religion. And so people don't even bother to go back. That's the reason why it was necessary you see, in a wicked way, in a deceitful manner on the part of a great church to proclaim the Bible as unfit to be read. That they, you know, their authority supersedes that. And oftentimes many of them try to burn it, and they did. And they would burn people who were spreading Bibles, who were reading the Bible, who were teaching from it, because they knew the danger in that book, because it exposes them and the works of darkness. Of course, today they cannot do it anymore. So they came up with a doctrine later on that it's a sin to read the Bible. You know, a venial sin, a little sin, not a big one. And so you go to the priest and tell him about, you know, well, how come, you know, the Bible says, you know, something that is totally contrary to what you say? Well, they hold you in contempt at that point. And then you're trapped into their lies and deceptions. You see? That's what God says. Unless you return to the law of Moses, I'm going to destroy all of you, the whole earth. It's as simple as that. And one of these days, people are going to get this message, and hopefully some before it's too late. But unfortunately, obviously, the majority are not going to listen. And that's the reason for the utter destruction that God is going to bring upon this earth. Well, about 90% of humanity and so much of the earth is going to be devastated. And so, God makes it very plain. You obey the law of God, you abide by it, it's going to be well with you, and otherwise, you're going to pay the penalty. And so, if you do those things which are right, God is going to bless you, as you read in verse 19. And then, gives another law here. Verse 20, when you beat your olive tree, so first, you know, he talks about the harvest, now you go to the trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. He's going to repeat that several times. In other words, anything in your field that God is responsible for it, after all, you didn't create the olive tree, you're just working with it. You see, you're working the field, you know, you didn't create the harvest, the crops and all that, you know, God did it. And so God says, that's mine, and that's the way we're going to treat it. You get plenty since, you know, that's yours. I gave it to you. And then also remember those who do not have enough. And when people were taking care of each other and minding, you know, the business of others too and caring for them, well, obviously they weren't under, because of this circumstance, there weren't many poor in the land. It's when people were despising the law of God. That's when the number of poor people increases in the land, and therefore problems, crime, and all kind of evil things, you know, chain reaction. You see? So all that was because of iniquity. And so what do you do under the circumstances? That's what God is saying here. You see, you prevent crime, you prevent problems, and to begin with, you know, you bring blessings on yourself, and you've got plenty. You see, so you don't need to hoard everything to yourself, and don't be evil. Keep it all to yourself. And so he says, so, you know, with the olive tree, yeah, that's what you do also. And people need oil, you see. That was very important for cooking and all kind of things like that. So that's something else that God enumerated, you know, in particular, because of the importance of it. And then verse 21 goes to the next one. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it after you. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. You know, repetition of the same thing. So God goes through everything that is of major, you know, importance. You see, the major categories of the produce of the land. And he says, leave some for the poor. Let them have it too. Don't take it all to yourself. If you want to be blessed, if you want to be cursed, you know, in many ways, you see, just disobey the law of God and you pay the penalty. But if you want to be blessed, make sure that those things happen. So that becomes a part of the constitution of Israel. You see, it's not something that you do only if you feel like it, if you are a kind person. God says, I command you to do these things. And if you don't, God says, I'm going to take it away from you and take your life away from you. What are you going to do about that? You see? So it's not a good idea to do, you know, to despise the law of God. And it's much worse to despise it and to teach others to do like that. Those are the ones who are going to have the greatest condemnation. And that's what Christ was saying. Those who teach and do, you know, the law of God, you know, they're going to have the greatest reward. But those who teach otherwise, they are the least to be called into the kingdom of God. Verse 22, and you shall remember, again, he mentions that to them, he reminds them again, You shall remember that you was a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. Again, it is not a suggestion. God commands, and we do it. I hear a lot of people that say, well, no, the law of God is done away with. And then they come to God and they say, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. You know, we've done all kind of good works. And all that, God says, is meaningless to me. You despise my law. You see? Get out of here. You're lawless. That's what he says. Why do you call me Lord? Why do you even call me Lord when you do not do the things that I say? Here it is. He's commanding us to do all these things. And obviously, we're today in a society where we're not agrarian, but you know, until recently we were. You know, it's a new phenomenon where most people now live in the city. You know, this is a new phenomenon of the modern life. You know, but until 100 years ago, most people were in the land. So all these laws were applicable to them. And today, you know, for the farmers, it's still applicable to them. You don't see agribusiness functioning in this manner. They couldn't care less about the law of God, you see. I mean, there are some people who are more decent. You know, they say, well, you can come to the field and pick, you know, whatever you want, you know, whatever is left over. And that's still people who do it. But, you know, they do it for their own advantage because, you know, they don't want to go back and send employees and spend more money in doing it. They don't do it necessarily because they love God or they love His law or they obey His commandments. But at least, you know, they're doing it, so that's good too. Because it's a blessing for the people who are needy. And God says, you do it. Because I commanded you to do it. So don't call me Lord unless you are willing to obey my commandments. And so he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things that I say? If you want to put on the mind of Christ, if you want to go by that cliche that people come up with, that should be a good one, what would Jesus do? This is what he said. And this is what he would do if he was a farmer. You see? All these things that we just read here. So, when you take all that into consideration, and then also, since we live in the city, well, then apply it to whatever life we have in the city. You see? Because, I mean, you know, the principles are here, even if you're not a farmer, and a lot of things that you can do for people to care for them. And that's basically the principle behind it, is care for the poor. If you're in an agrarian society, that's the way you do it, and if you're not, do it in whichever way that you can, under the circumstances, but care for the poor, care for the helpless, care for the needy. You see? Be a just man. In doing so, you become like your Father which is in heaven. In doing so, you put on the mind of Christ. That's why Jesus Christ said, don't think that I came to do away with the Torah or the prophets. You see, to do away with the Torah or the prophets, when this is his mind, it's just like he's going out of his mind. You see? And when people teach that, that's exactly what they are teaching. They don't realize how insane it is, what they are doing, what they are saying. Chapter 25, we continue with more laws. If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, and the judges basically were the Levites, the priests, that was the Department of Justice, and the judges judge them by justifying the righteous. See, they're going to investigate, obviously, and find out. And condemning the wicked. Then it shall be, if the wicked men deserve to be beaten, and that was, you know, the punishment for certain things, 40 lashes. Well, this is the attitude that God says you are going to have when you do it, the administration of the justice. That the judge shall cause him to lie down. You see, he's going to get there. Obviously, he's got the officers there. You know, you lie down here, and to be beaten before his face, right there, on the spot, according to the measure of his wickedness, by number, 40 stripes he may give him, he shall not exceed. Why? Think about it. Think about it psychologically. Think about it, what happens to people when they begin to demonize other people, and they make them absolutely nobodies, and they can trample over them. You see, that's in essence what the Nazis have been doing to the Jews. And that's what all the anti-Semites are doing and have been doing for the past 2,000 years. And that's what all the anti-black or anti-Chicano or anti-whatever. And that's what all the children in school are doing to each other. They demonize each other. They put them down. They get to the point where they despise them so much that it doesn't matter what they do to them. They have no kindness, no mercy, no capacity to begin with, oftentimes. And the reason why they don't do it, because their parents haven't taught them. So their parents are the criminals too, to begin with. And the children are the product of their parents. You see? But God says, I want you to learn something. And we have to understand that this is a part of human nature. If we do not learn to maintain respect and honor and dignity always, and that's why we mentioned earlier, when it comes to relationship, you have to begin a relationship from the point of view of respect and honor, not love. See, a lot of people, you know, fall in love with each other, and then they fall out of love, so to speak, and then they despise and hate one another. You know, a lot of people do horrible things to each other, and most of them, a lot of the murders and the violence occur within the family. People, you know, supposedly love one another, and then they don't, and they hate one another, you see. Well, if you establish your relationship with anybody, with anything, be it a person or a product, you see, or the land, whatever it may be, on the basis of respect and honor and dignity, when the love is gone, you see, the respect and honor remain. And you still treat them, you know, with honor and respect and dignity. You don't have to love them at that point anymore, you don't, you see. But at least that stays there. And if that was there, there wouldn't be any messy divorces. You see, there wouldn't be any messy, you know, breakups of any sort. There wouldn't be any, all the problems that you have, you know, between employers and employees, between friends, between, you know, people in school, here and there. All that wouldn't be gone. You just say, okay, you know, just, you know, let's part in peace. You know, we don't love one another anymore. Or, you know, we don't have much in common, whatever it may be. But I'm going to maintain my measure of respect and dignity and honor for you. And when they do it to each other, you see, then things are peaceful before and after. Instead of war and bloodshed and hatred and malice and wickedness and all the evils, you know, that we find in the society all around us. So we have to examine ourselves, you see. And if we are what we are, it's because we have rejected the law of Moses. It's as simple as that. And so later on, when the apostles, who are well versed in the law of Moses, begin to teach and to magnify, whatever they say is all based on what the law of Moses is. It's not something new. It's not New Testament. There is no such a thing. You see? The law has always been there from beginning until the end, and the law has always been holy and spiritual and good. And the royal law is always there. That's the very nature and mind of God. God was not reinventing Himself 2,000 years ago. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see? What happens when people listen to liars and they're being taught lies? You see, and then they suffer. They are suffering. They're paying the consequences for it, because then the nature of the character of God is not in them from the beginning of life. And they despise the law of God. Oh, yeah, they may accept certain parts of it, but that's meaningless to God. As James says, you know, you break one, you break them all. God is not interested in partial obedience. You know, there's no such a thing as partially being pregnant. You are either pregnant or you are not. You are either pregnant with the nature of God in His mind and spirit, or you are not. Partially doesn't mean anything to Him. That's why He says to people that have done an awful lot of good works, which is nice. It's nice to do good works. It's good. He says, I don't even know you, because you despise my law. You are lawless. You see? That's why we need to study this word day and night. Meditate on it day and night. That's what David was doing. A man according to God's own heart. How do you think he became a man according to God's own heart? He said so. I meditated on the law of God day and night. I loved it with my whole being and heart. I couldn't contain myself. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and think about it and talk about it and read it. That's how he became like God and a man according to God's own heart. There is no other way. When people deceive themselves, well, they become naked and poor and wretched and miserable, and yet they think that they're rich and Christian and good and they're doing great. And so, this is what he's saying here. Mind you, when you execute judgment, be mindful of this attitude in men, in human nature. He said, you give him 40 stripes, that's what you can give him, but shall not exceed. Lest, if he should exceed and beat him above this, with many stripes, then your brother should be dishonored before your eyes. So he's going to become vile, as you read in the King James, in your sight. You see? v'nikle, in the Hebrew, you see, v'nikle achicha le'enecha, in other words, your brother will become nobody, nothing in your sight, you see, because that's human nature. That's what Christ said, you know, if you call somebody reka, you know, nothing, nobody, you're in danger of the lake of fire, you see, because you become now the devil incarnate in your attitude. Because he despises us, he abhors us, he hates us, and he injects this attitude into his children on this earth, the children of disobedience who are willing to go in that direction. So no matter what evil anybody has ever done to you, don't ever get yourself to the point where you so despise them, you so hate them, you couldn't care less whether they're alive or not. Because if you have that his attitude, that's the very attitude God is going to have toward you, and that's going to be your end. You see? That's as simple as that. That's what he's saying here. Don't ever get to that state of mind. Still maintain a measure of respect and honor and dignity. Still remember that person, you know, no matter how worthless that person is in your sight, whatever evil he has done to you or she has done to you, that person is still in the image and likeness of God. And when God deals with that person, they're going to, you know, he's going to wash them, cleanse them, purge them, purify them. And then he's going to present them holy and acceptable to himself and to you. What are you going to, you know, do at that point? You know, reject it? You see? You're going to despise God in doing so. And where would you be? So, you know, let's consider all these things. No matter how evil people are, whatever evil they've done to you, never lose your dignity and respect for them as children of God, made in the image of God, who are going to be cleansed and purged and purified from all that poison that is in them now, and they will become holy and righteous and clean and pure, and they'll be just like God. And when we do not think that way, you know, we just despise them, period. Well, if Christ treated us like that and felt that way about us, if God felt that way about us, just like we feel about others, where would we be? That's why he's warning us, don't ever get to this attitude, because then you are in danger of the lake of fire, because then God has no use for you. You see? And it's a very sober thing to contemplate. And if we're not careful, we're guilty of that. And so that's what he's saying here, because that's the way human nature functions. If you despise someone, you know, he just becomes absolute nobody to you. You see? God says, no, don't ever get to that point in treating human beings. And then we read in verse 4, you shall not muzzle the ox when he treads out the corn. In other words, you know, the ox, you know, treading out the corn, he gets hungry and needs to eat. Don't say, hey, no, no, stop eating, you see. Well, in a sense, that's a principle for all human beings. Now and then, you know, they need to rest, they need, you know, to eat something, they need to drink something, and yet the slave masters want them to work all the time, just produce, you see, production. And in the employment, you know, places, you find an awful lot of that attitude and spirit, and that's when the government steps in and says, no, 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 you got to give them 15 minutes, you know, every 2 hours, you know, relax, things like that. Yeah, there are people who couldn't care less about it. There's still sweatshops in America, you see. There's still a lot of people, you know, who are driving their employees very hard. They don't give them the 15-minute break, and they don't treat them nice, you see. God is going to come after all these people. So if you see all these evils in the economy and all these problems constantly in the economy, it's because of the wickedness that is in the economy. That is people who are responsible for it. And that's one way for God to handle, you know, all these kind of matters on an ongoing basis. And then finally, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God and Christ and give an account for our actions all this time. So we should be mindful of that. That's what God says. You got to remember the law of Moses. Return to it. Study it. Meditate on it day and night if you want to have success, as it told Joshua. Because if you are not willing to do it, you are not willing to be holy as I am, righteous as I am, perfect as I am. If you are not willing to have my mind, my nature, my character, I have no use for you. I'll have to totally blot you out from under heaven. And you will be as if you have never existed ever. You're going to be burning in hell and forever. You'll be gone. Totally gone, non-existent, ashes. And your spirit returns to God, and that's it. That's the end of it. God will never give you a body, so obviously you can never be resurrected. And so that's what he's saying here. And the Apostle Paul later on used it in terms of the ministry. People serve you. Why didn't you feed them? Oh, people, you know, do things for you. And yet people are so selfish. All of us are selfish to one degree or the other. We're getting a lot of benefits from so many places, and we're not responding, you see. We just take, take, and take, and take. You know, we're on the get all the time. A lot of people, you know, take advantage of all kind of organizations and things like that, you know, that give you freebies, and they don't realize, hey, you know, the only way they can function is by some people being generous and contributing to it, or otherwise, how are they going to do it? And especially when it comes to spiritual matters, how many people are out there, you know, just working their tail to the bone, so to speak, doing things for other people, giving, bring them knowledge and understanding and all that. They couldn't care less. They just take. What kind of a nature do they develop? Not the nature of God, but the nature of the devil. So if you find yourself in a position like that, you know, where you're getting some benefits from anybody, respond in like kind, in like manner. Be like your Heavenly Father. You see? Just like somebody smiles at you, smile back. Don't frown. You see? And so forth. In everything that we do in life, as Paul said, in whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. And this is the Lord speaking here to you, not man. This is the law of God. I'm just reading what it says here. You can read it yourself. You see? And so this is what he's saying here. And that's a principle that goes for everything in life. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point. Again, this is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson.